Pasuk in this week's parasha says, "V'rocha locha es hatrofim v'atisimim v'kar hagmalim v'atayshev aleihem." Rachel took the trophim, these idols that the Zohar describes had a power. That the Zohar, according to the Zohar, these trophim were items that if a person believed in the power of Kishuv, then they would actually affect people's lives. And Rachel wanted to make sure that Lavan would not tap into that power, so she sat on top of them. Explains my great Rebbe, Rav Neman Sal Shlita, that according to the Zohar, what emerges is the first Sicha in Parshas Vayetze. What emerges is that an individual, in their actions, can affect reality. And in his whole Sicha, my Rabbi goes through this point that a person's actions will actually affect a status. In his lashon, lekolcho saolam azeh yeshlita ala adam rakasher hu machshivosan. There are some things in the world, objects that can have a power over us if we give them significance. However, if we are mevatel, if we show that those things are not important, so then in such a case, we could change the status and the significance of those items. Rav Nevinzal explains that this is the Gemara in Sukkah on Daf Nun Beis. If you read the Gemara carefully, it's not explicit in the Gemara. Look up the Gemara and see what's explicit and what we're adding. But it's clear to the tzaddikim, the Yetzahara looks like something that's not big at all. But to a Rasha who never said, the little train that could, never said that I think I can, so then the Yetzahara looks like something that's humongous. Here's the Chiddush tonight. This Yisod is not only Yisod in Kabbalah, it's not only Yisod in Musar, but it's been proven in experimental psychology. There's a famous psychologist by the name of Rosenthal. And this was printed in a peer review tested journal. It's actually from quite a long time ago, but it's definitely a well-respected journal, Behavioral Science. Rosenthal did a couple of studies. He took two groups of college kids. For some reason, we love to study mice. My father, may he be well, when he was a biochemist, he used to inject mice with cancer in order to find the cure for cancer. But mice become the pet of all scientists. What they were testing was the intelligence of mice running through a maze. And they took two groups of guys. They took Shana Bet guys and Shana Aleph guys. And they told the Shana Bet guys, these mice that you're going to be testing going through the maze, these mice are smart. They're very good at going through a maze. And they told the Shana Aleph guys, these mice that are going through the maze, they're dumb. They're not so good at going through the maze. Now the truth was, that wasn't true. They were randomly chosen mice. Guess what happened? Afterwards, after a few months of practicing with the mice, the ones that were with the Shana Bet guys, they got smarter. The ones that were with the Shana Aleph guys, they got dumber. Amazing. In other words, the way a person relates to something, that becomes the reality in life. So of course, Rosenthal then went a step further. He then decided to study first and second graders. And he went over also behavioral science. No. This is from the Psychological Reports of 1973. Rosenthal then goes and he studies first and second graders. And he gives a fancy name to a test that doesn't exist. He tells the teachers of a second grader that these kids were tested based on their general ability of the Harvard test of inflected acquisition. Okay. And that test says that these kids who are going to be in your class, kitabet, teacher, second grade teacher, you're getting kids who are, we call, blooming. They're about to take off. And you, teacher, are getting kids who are difficult. It wasn't true. It was a random group of kids. What happened? Self-fulfilling prophecy. Rabosai, how a person relates to an object, an item, or another individual could affect its identity. And Rav Nevenzahl goes a step further. And he says, what is the halacha mandate that we do? The halacha says that if you're mevata, if you say, no, this doesn't have a power over me, so then it has halachic significance. Avodah Zarah, if the guy who made the Avodah Zarah says, nope, it's no longer Avodah Zarah, it's batel. When a Jew says on Pesach, I'm mevatel the chametz is mevutel. And you're not over. The power of words. We'll come back to that shortly. And so lesson number one for us that's so important is this idea that how we relate to someone could actually create their identity. And that's what the Gemara says in the end of Brachos, that Bruria, the wife of Rebbe Meir, said such important yisod in Chinuch, but not only if you're going to become a Rebbe. The way you relate to others, the Pasuk in Tehillim says, Baruch Inavshi at the end, Yitamu chatoim min haaretz, may the chatoim, the sins of the earth be destroyed. V'lo chotim, and not the sinners. How do you relate to someone who's a sinner? Do you project that there's a rejection of him? Then chas v'chalila, it will just go further. But yitamu chatoim. Let's take our Rebbe's Yisod. Let's go a little deeper. What did Rachel do? Rachel sat on the Trophim. If the Trophim are Avodah Zarah, does it lose its identity of Avodah Zarah? No. But what did my Rebbe also point out? If the Baal Avodah Zarah is Mevatel Bepeh, if they use their words, then the Avodah Zarah no longer exists. Therefore, if actions could make the mice feel a certain way and make mice smarter, if implicit assumptions of a teacher in second grade could affect the status of their students, then words are even more powerful. Not only because words are an expression of emotion, but something deeper. Yadua, it's well known, the words of the Targum Unklis, that the translation of Nishmas Chaim, the neshama of life that God gave us, translates the Targum as Ruach Mimalala, the spirit of words. Zot Rav Yeruchim, Das Torah, Vayikra, page Kufches. How powerful and how dear are our words. And therefore, we'll get to Rav Yeruchim's words in a moment. If a person uses his words right, they can create spiritual and physical realities. And that's why bitul is done bipeh and changes the status of Avodah Zarah. That's why the Rambam writes, when it comes to tshuva, you need to use words. And a person could say, Eini oso ish, I am not that person, I'm changing my name, and his name is changed. His identity is changed, he's a new person. Dafka b'dibur. Zok Rabbi Yeruchim. He quotes the Targum, page Kuf Chesen Vayikra. Hine ki soit shel nefesh chayu hu haruach memala. Hine ki hadibur hu nefesh hadibur hu atzmius mamish. Dibur is the essence of what we are in our spiritual reality. Ma'um naso shel odom odom ba'olam hazeh, says the Gemara Chulin Pei Tesa Min Aleph. Rabbi Yeruchim now takes us into a very strong direction. The Gemara says, Yase atzmo ki ilen. A person should speak sparingly. Just like every person doesn't waste their money, and they weigh out every bit that they spend. Kishayodim uhuso shel dibur, if a person realizes that the words that they have are so powerful, that there's something that's from above, and those words could create reality. Ki adibru mitzius shel atzmius, mitzius shel anefesh. Hinezem mamish nesinas mashel chelek me anefesh. Then of course a person would never waste his words. Rabbi Yerucham lauds in another place. In Bamidbar, he speaks about that there was in his Chabura, when he grew up, there were people that would never have a conversation with more than 15 or 20 words. Because words are so precious. A person who treats their words as so precious, then their words are coming from above. Then their words are nishmas chayim, it's a chelek olkam imah. And if a person's actions create reality, as has been proven in the laboratories, then of course the words can even create a greater reality than a person's actions. And that's of course what the Gemara means above Metziah, when the Gemara says that if one embarrasses someone in public, they murdered them. Because what was murdered? The Baal HaMor in the beginning of Shas writes that the essence of a person is their kavod, which they get from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kavod is a good thing and a bad thing. The good part of kavod is the chelek elokam imal, a person's spiritual dignity. Not his exterior kavod, but his interior kavod. Someone who cuts down that interior kavod is destroying him with the words that come from above. It's a murder of above. It's not a murder of below, it's a murder of above. And it could be in many ways, that's even a worse form of murder than physical murder. Rabosai, the power to create with our words. With this, we can understand the jarring story of Rabbi Yerucham. I think I've said this in the past, and almost parental discretion when I say the story. You're not allowed to leave in the middle of the story because the story is almost harsh. But now you understand where Rabbi Yerucham was coming from in this story. Rabbi Yerucham used to give a shmuz in the yeshiva Mir, if I'm not mistaken. He would meet with Talmid who made an appointment with him. But if you wanted to hear more Musar from Rabbi Yerucham would charge money. That's how the legend goes. One time there was a boy who had been far from his Rebbe, from Yerucham, for a while. And he traveled from his shtetl for a few days. Let's say Rabbi Yerucham gave, I don't know if this is accurate, he gave the shmuz in the yeshiva on Thursday night. He planned to be there in time for the shmuz, traveled for 3 days, but he missed it. He arrived Thursday at 2 a.m. He came into Rabbi Yerucham, he missed his Rebbe for a long time, and he said to him, Rebbe, this was a poor boy, said, Rebbe, tell me some musa I could take. And Rabbi Yerucham's musa was penetrating. He said, tell me something I could take back with me. And Rabbi Yerucham said, you remember the rules from yeshiva? You got to pay. And Rabbi Yerucham said to him, I have something beautiful for you, but it's 10 ruble. Now this was a poor boy. 10 ruble was the last 10 ruble he had in his pocket. That was his train ride home. That was a 4-day walk if he didn't take the train. And the boy didn't flinch. And he said, Rebbe, here is the 10 ruble. Rabbi Yerucham told him the yesod, and this is where it becomes a fairy tale, of course. Then Rabbi Yerucham said to him, here, take the 10 rubles back and take a train up. Makorekan, what's going on in this story? The answer is that Rabbi Yerucham wanted to teach the boys, don't take Divrei Musar for granted. Don't take your Rabbeim for granted. It's worth top dollar. And how many times do I have to scream at Talmidim about this in the most positive sense of screaming? I have this Rebbe b'chavrusa. I have him. It's yours. He's in your pocket. These are dvarim yikarim. The divrei Torah from one's Rabbeim, and the words that we hear, and the words that we say. That's why Rabbi Yerucham was makbid on this. Every word is precious. You know, they say that there was a husband who felt that his wife spoke a little bit too much. So he's sitting with her in the living room, he's reading the newspaper, and he sees a great statistic, And he reads to his wife out loud from the paper. See, in the paper it says that the average man uses 15,000 words a day. And the average woman uses 30,000 words a day. To which the woman responds, that's because we have to repeat ourselves. Rabosai, it's not only the words that we use, but it's how we listen. Have we turned our parents' words into sheep? How many times do our parents need to repeat themselves to us? The punchline of the joke then goes, the husband's head is in the newspaper and he said, what did you say? Speech is expensive. Rabbi Yeruchim's yisod, that speech is so expensive because speech comes from above, is a yisod mamish that we say right here when we talk about chinuch habanim. Dr. Radcliffe, in her book, Raising Children Without Raising Your Voice, writes something amazing. And you'll see, it's mamish Rabbi Yeruchim's yisod. And I know you're young, some of you here. Some of you are still not even thinking about marriage yet. Children seem so far off. But working on your midos now is going to affect the type of parents you're going to be. And Dr. Radcliffe says that when you give a child a rebuke, parents are supposed to rebuke their children in a healthy way. Shema b'ni musar avicha v'al titosh mitayda asimecha. Musar has its role in parenting. She says they're mamish coins. Mamish, the words of Rabbi Yeruchim, the coins. She says every parent has only 5 coins. We have 5 coins because our kids are constantly taking all the bills from us. But she says we have 5 coins. And of those 5 coins, one of them is a musar and 4 of them is a compliment. You could give them out whenever you want. But once you gave out the musar, then you owe the child. And believe me, sometimes it doesn't feel like we owe them. It feels like they owe us. You owe the child now 4 compliments. And if you have nothing to say, no compliment to say, then quiet. Because every word makes or breaks. And her mesorah is that if it's not 4-1, then chas v'chalil will break. We could discuss in chinuch class whether it's right or wrong. But the yisod, for sure, one needs a cheshbon. And that is their mamish coins. The speech creates reality. There was a very important philosopher whose name was Ludwig Wittgenstein. Wittgenstein was an entirely assimilated Jew. He even thought he was a Christian until the Nazis came along and they reminded him he was Jewish. In the world of philosophy, he's one of the most important philosophers. Actually, Lahavdil El Falfei Avdolos, he followed Rabbi Ruchim's Yesod. His book is one of the smallest books on philosophy, but to this day is a very, very important book. 75 pages. He just gave a few klalim that are legendary. He's also a legendary person, a little bit of Meshigana too. That's the difference between the Chachmei HaMesor and the Chachmei philosopher. I don't mean to be funny, it's a reality. Chachmei HaMesor, their mechus is tocham kibarim. It's something totally different. Anyhow, Wittgenstein said the following. Wittgenstein spoke about the centrality of language in philosophy. He pointed out that all of philosophy's chakiros, all of their questions, are really dependent on language, and if it can't be formulated in language, that's not a legitimate question. Ayin Shom. I'm not going to explain Wittgenstein now, but let me give you one line how he concludes his book. 75 pages that become classic. I'll try to say it in German. Wovon man nicht sprechen kann, darüber muss man schweigen. Wittgenstein wrote that if a man has nothing to say, then it's time for him to be silent. That is tremendous Chachma Bagoyim. It's really a Yid who just didn't want to accept that he was a Yid. Chachma Bagoyim. Rabbi Yeruchim, and with this we conclude, on the next page, in Kuf Yud, in Das Torah and Vayikra, points out that when it comes to Lashon Hara, everybody knows that the Metzora brings a Tzipor. Of course, the Metzora sinned with Lashon Hara. A tzipor, says Rashi. Rashi's lashon is very, very striking. Lefi shanigoyim bon al lashon hara shumase pitputei dvarim. The tziporim chirp without any purpose. That's the speech of an animal. The opposite of the ruach memala, where we can make or break people, make or break realities. This person is the opposite. They just chirp away. That's why they bring a tzipora for the carbon. Says Rabbi Yerucham, wait a second. You know what Lashon Hara is? Lashon Hara destroys the lives of people. And what is what Rashi emphasizes? Rashi doesn't say because they destroy people's lives. Rashi says because they're mitpatpet. They just talk without thinking. Says Rabbi Yerucham, you know what's the chomer, the real essence of the aver of Lashon Hara? It's not the tochen, it's not the content of the Lashon Hara, but it's the denigration of the nishmas chayim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us, and that's the power of speech. Rabosai, in the last week, did you think about the most precious gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given you, the Koach HaDibur? Some of you might have even come across, if you were learning well, if you were learning well, then your Rebbe might have pushed you further and he might have said, you don't understand it unless you say it. You're able to say it clearly. You know why? I want to suggest tonight, because saying it becomes a reality. There are ideas in Kabbalah and Medrash, this idea that Dibur becomes a reality. And if Rachel's Maisa removes the Koach of the Trafim, it's not as strong as Dibur of being Mevatel the Trafim. It's not as strong as the power of words. And therefore I beg of you, spend time thinking about the Koach HaDibur. Bezer Hashem, with that, we'll be zocha to a true Nishmas Chaim, be able to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim, and be able to create very, very special words, worlds, with our special words.